Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name's Anna and I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who's here to talk with us about an inspiring new book project for children in Cantalamba. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Anna.
Hey.
So fun to be here. So fun to be talking about this.
I know. So how about you start off by telling us a bit about the project and how it came to be?
Sure. Absolutely. So, you know, like everywhere in the world, kids in Zambia are not going to school right now. Schools are closed because of the virus. And like many other things, kids in Cantalamba are uniquely disadvantaged in many ways in the sense that Zambia is doing a distance learning program, bless their hearts. And yet it's, you know, not accessible to anyone in Cantalamba because they don't have any of the things you need for that. They don't have smartphones. They don't have tablets. Computers, they don't have electricity. So on these weekly calls that we have with Teresa ever since it started, you know, God, we've all just been saying, what can we do? Because, of course, our strength in Cantalamba is our team and our ability to bring everyone together to pitch and to assist and be part of a community and to inspire one another. And we don't have that right now. The kids are being fed, but they're coming in one by one. They get their lunch, they take it home. They get their lunch, they take it home. So forever, we've just been looking at what is something we could do. And just going along one day, doing other things related to the project, this idea dropped in to write a book, a very, very simple book that could be a book that could be used both to read about the virus and all to inspire the community, and also to learn to read. And so that's what happened. We wrote it. We published it. It was printed at a local printer in Cantalamba, in Indola. And 250 copies of the book are now in hands of people all over Cantalamba.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the process of how it came to be is it dropped in, you were there for it, and said yes to it, and there are now 250 copies in Cantalamba of this book.
Exactly. And I thought it would be fun, Anna, to just, because it is a kid's book and it's short, it'd be fun to read it. So I thought, please. Let's do that. So it's titled, Kids Are Staying Home. Kids all over the world are staying home. Kids in Cantalamba are staying home. Why do we have to stay home, Mama T? Asked Bruce. There's a virus, Mama T replied. It can make people sick. We want to stay healthy, so we are staying home. But how will we get our lunch if we stay home? Asked Docus. We will come to the Living Compassion property and line up one by one, said Teacher Veronica. We will each collect our lunch and take it home to eat. But how will we get our water? Asked Angela. We will come to the water tap one by one, explained Teacher Charles. We will make sure we stay 1 meter apart from other people. We will wash our hands before we touch the tap. But how will we learn? Asked Edna, a small tear rolling down her cheek. Yes, agreed Joseph. If we cannot gather together, how will we learn? Yes, chimed in Lovna. If we cannot go to school, how will we learn? Yes, added Philip. If we cannot be with our Living Compassion teachers, how will we learn? I do not know, said Teacher Susan, who looked at Teacher Malila. How will we learn, Teacher Malila? I, too, do not know, answered Teacher Malila. She looked at Teacher Beatrice. How will we learn? I do not know how we will learn, answered Teacher Beatrice. She looked at Teacher Anne. How will we learn, Teacher Anne? I also do not know how we will learn, replied Teacher Anne. Everyone began discussing this problem. How will we learn? They all asked. I can teach, said little Eunice quietly, but no one heard her. Everyone was busy discussing the problem. How will we learn? Everyone went home that day feeling very sad, each person asking another, how will we learn? Good morning, Eunice. Good morning, Peace, said Cook Joanne when Eunice and her little brother Peace arrived at the property to collect their lunch the next day. Good morning, they greeted in return. I can sing my ABCs, little Peace proudly told Cook Joanne. How did you learn? Asked Joanne. Eunice taught me, replied Peace with a big smile. I can teach, said Eunice shyly, also smiling. Teacher Joanne smiled too. Little Eunice can teach, Cook Joanne told the group of students lining up one by one to collect their lunch. The students laughed. Eunice cannot teach. Eunice is only a little girl. She cannot teach. Little Eunice can teach, told Joanne. Joanne told a group of people lined up to collect their water from the tap. The people all laughed. Eunice cannot teach. Eunice is not a teacher. She is a young student. Little Eunice can teach, Joanne told the other Living Compassion cooks. The cooks all laughed. Eunice is a small girl. She cannot teach. I will show you, Cook Joanne said, smiling. Cook Joanne led Little Peace to the center of the courtyard. Little Peace loudly and proudly sang his ABCs. Little Eunice taught Little Peace his ABCs, Joanne told everyone. Little Eunice is a teacher. Yay, they all clapped and cheered. Little Eunice is a teacher. I know how we will learn, said Edna, with a huge smile on her face. We will teach. And on this day, everyone went home very happy, each one asking the other, what will you teach? And at the end of the book, there's a letter to the community from Teresa that reads, to the children, parents, teachers, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, relatives of Cantalumba, we all have something to teach, and we all have many things to learn. During this time of the COVID-19 virus, when we are asked to stay at home, when our bright young children are not able to go to school, let's all participate in teaching and learning. What do you have to teach? Gather with one or two people, keeping your social distance, staying safe to teach and to learn. We are stronger than we realize, more resourceful than we ever knew. We are a remarkable community filled with remarkable people. We're important. We matter. I'm proud of everyone here in this community. Let's assist each other to prove that to ourselves. Please feel free to pass this book to anyone in the community. Read it to people. Use it to teach people how to read. Read to anyone who is not able to read. Ask for help and always remember to use social distancing. Have fun. Take care. Be well. With care, Tuato Tela, Teresa, and the Living Compassion family.
Wow. I bet I'm not alone in the chills.
I know. And, you know, the thing that's so fun about it, Anna, is to hear Teresa's voice when she talks about the book being received. And it's, you know, it's the little things that make such a difference. Like what she said is the picture, the front cover of it, which is in the newsletter, by the way, if people want to see the book. And the whole, that story is in the newsletter too, in the African newsletter. But the cover is this little African girl just with a smile on her face, kind of leaning against a wall. And then, of course, all the names in the book and all, you know, the teachers, those are actually the teachers at the property. The names of those kids are all kids in the program. And so Teresa said that was the biggest thing that people responded to was, this is about us. They're not used to reading books that are about them, that depict what they see, what they know. And she said that has been one of the most impactful things about it.
Wow. Wow. Being included. And
yes,
as Teresa said,
included.
We matter. How can we participate?
Right. Yeah. Right. And it just feels like it's one of those places where, you know, if we look at it that way, there's so many places that feel like this time of the virus is inviting us to expand. Mm. And I just see that, you know, there's that sort of helpless feeling of, you know, these poor kids are like, finally, they're getting their feet under them in terms of education. And then boom, right now they can't go to school. And it's not as if this book, right, is going to make someone pass their exam. But as you say, it's that they matter. And it's that shifting that paradigm, that realization that we all do have something to contribute. And that contribution is enough. And it's just enormous what it gives to all of us when we all come together in that way.
Mm. Yeah, truly. And we started off saying, you know, Jen, this is a book project for children in Cantalumba. And what I'm hearing is it's really for all of us. Right, the process of that.
That's so true.
And I was hearing as you're reading the book that Eunice is like the still small voice, right? There she is saying, here's what's possible, here's what's possible. And people don't hear her at first, right? But she keeps on just still small. I can teach. I can teach.
Yeah.
I've got something to offer. And truly, it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
And that's really a great, I had not seen that, Anna, because what's so fun about that is, you know, sort of that, well, just this morning, I think, on the radio show, that image of the chick pecking on the shell and then life pecking back. So there's little Eunice who keeps, you know, who keeps saying it, right? And then she teaches peace. Yeah. And then it's like Joanne comes and pecks on the other side of the shell. Yes. And then it opens up. So it, so that little tiny thing is now available to an entire community.
And folks have attention on discussing the problem and don't hear her at first. And then attention shifts to here's what's possible. Yeah. Yes.
Here's what's possible.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, proving that it is every note of intelligence that we need, especially in a situation like this. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, Jen,
so we'll
we're
keep you posted.
Out of time.
Very fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I will say one more thing, Anna, which is that the other fun thing that's come out of it is that apparently, especially Charles, who is one of the teachers, was really excited about it. I guess, and Veronica, too. And both of them are saying, well, we could write books. We could write books.
Mm.
And I said, well, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Because it just so happens that when we first went to Zambia, Sherry made a connection, met a Franciscan friar in Italy when she was doing some work on a peace center there. And he's the way that we came to Zambia to begin with. And so we were his guests at the friary in Ndola that happens to be a state-of-the-art printing press. And so we've known those years for those folks for literally over 15 years. So I was able to make contact with them, say, hey, we've got this book we want to print. They said, great. Went back and forth with us. I mean, it's the simplest process I've ever had in creating something like that. And it's 12,000 miles away. And off it went to Cantalamba. So,
and now it's in people's hands.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks for being here to talk about it with me.
Oh, thank you, Jen. And with that, we'll turn the show over to Michael and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. I have tears in my eyes. How about you?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that crazy exciting?
Yeah, it's a very beautiful story. And very, and I love how it was so received and that they could see that it was about them and for them. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I appreciate so much about that is, see if I can articulate this, that our two communities are so alike.
Mm.
Okay, so Jen was there. Idea dropped in, boom, on it. And it happens, right? There's
yes.
no, well, I, you know, no, we probably, that's too, I mean, it's a, I mean, how could we, and what is that, you know? So everything is in place, right? As she says, we know those folks at the friary, we know about, you know, everything's in place. We have Teresa, who's an absolute genius at making anything happen. We have that marvelous community of people, right? And so, boom, it happens. And then they get their hands on that book, and they say, well, we can do that. And they will.
Yeah.
They will do that, right? And it's something that I've always really appreciated and admired about this Sangha, that people hear about something and just hop on it, just make it happen. You know, when we were struggling so with water on the property, you know, the climate is changing so rapidly, the fires, the heat is just intense, and running out of water is just not something that we want to do. And so we said, you know, this is the idea. It dropped in for somebody else in the Sangha. And this is the idea. This is what we'd like to do. And Sangha just said, okay. And it happened.
Mm.
And so to realize that that's possible to us all the time. And when we're listening to life, when we're listening to the guidance that we're receiving, when we say yes to it, what's possible is just infinite, limitless.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, it's very...
And the only reason it doesn't is that people are trained to say no. Oh, no, that, no, that, you know, as Jen said, this is 12,000 miles away. Come on, we're going to do a book project together? I mean, we have a hard time doing book projects with people on the East Coast, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I hope everyone, you know, not only is it a wonderful, beautiful story, and it's such a great moment for the folks in Canto Malma whom we love, but for all of us to just realize the power of saying yes to life when something is offered to us.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Not listen to the voices, but to say
not
yes
to
life.
Because, right, that's right. Because if anybody had been listening to voices at any point along this, they wouldn't have that book.
Mm-hmm.
And those teachers would not be saying, oh, we could write books. Of course they could write books, right? But it would never occur to them that they could write a book, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and the storyline was beautiful. I love how it came through,
yeah.
And Eunice was persistent, and yes, she did mm-hmm. teach, and her student learned.
Yes, she did. Yes.
Yes.
And a lot of people learned.
Mm. Yes.
The whole
yes.
community learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
Great. Yeah.
And I have announcements here.
Mm. Good.
Join Sangha this Sunday, June 28th, for a guided exploration of going beyond the ways ego takes over a sitting practice and supporting ourselves to train in sitting down and sitting still. This virtual workshop is free of charge, but registration by noon Friday is required.
Mm-hmm. And as I'm fond of pointing out, donations are always gratefully received.
Mm. Donations are always gratefully received. Mm. Yeah.
Supporting. We are one of those, you know, non-profit charity kinds of situations.
Yes, yes, yes. And as I benefit... As I benefit and I'm supported, I want to support that which supports me. It just comes naturally.
Exactly. It just that's right. It just goes around. Just like that book. That book idea, right? It just goes around
yes.
and serves everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our longest lived and most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts July 15th, and the deadline to register is July 1st.
Mm-hmm. I was just mentioning, Michael, in the email class, that the fact that I have always wanted, always hoped that everyone in Sangha would become facilitators.
Mm.
Because
yes.
there's just nothing to wage peace quite like facilitation skills, right?
Yes.
And so that, just to make that connection for anybody who read that and went, what? That's the program that most helps us to be with that basic skill of being with someone and really listening to them, hearing them, reflecting them, and then having them do the same thing for us. So that we have a chance to feel what it's like to really be heard and reflected. So it's a marvelous program. And as you say, it's been around forever because of that very reason.
Yes, yes. And an encouragement for folks who haven't done it before, you know, who have voices telling them, well, that's too hard and you can't do that. And, well, like anything,
I don't know how to do that.
Like anything I've learned in practice, it comes with a very compassionate, gentle, kind
yeah.
training program.
Yeah.
So that's the
yeah.
beauty of it, because I can learn yeah. anything through practice, because just the support and the kindness is extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no deep end of the pool that you talk people into in this practice. yeah.
Yes. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, which begins July 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. The deadline to register is July 1st.
And you know, Michael, that could pair very nicely with the workshop this Sunday.
Mm.
Right, 'cause so many people struggle with a sitting practice. So there, you know, I get all that good coaching on the how to sit down and sit still and be, and then I can have a program to support me in staying with that, because otherwise, as we know, those of us who've been attempting to practice for a while, you know, it's all wonderful, and then about 48 to 72 hours later, you know, conditioned mind has managed to make me forget that I ever even thought it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know it's your favorite program, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, I'm a big fan of
it. Yeah.
And if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program.
Yeah, and if anybody's not signed up for that, it's free. It comes in every 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just quotes from me, right? Because I can see people go, oh, I really? five more days out of the week. Now, these quotes are from everybody, from all kinds of people, spiritual types and religious types and scientists and artists and just regular folk.
And Dr. Seuss.
And Dr. Seuss, right. Yeah. If it brings us to center or has a hope of that, we want it as a peace quote.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, I think we're ready here, Sherry.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Cara.
Your name is?
Cara.
Cara.
Hi.
Hey.
I had a question about recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
So how is I keep hearing you guys talking about the two-handed recording. Is that different from a regular recording and listening?
It's just a different kind of a different exercise
from the regular mind, from the
kind. From the regular. Yeah. Huh. Do you have a regular recording and listening practice?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do the one where you record things that you love and that you appreciate and that you like and that you enjoy and that bring you to center, maybe peace quotes, things like that. You listen to those kinds of things and, yeah?
That, no, so if you're struggling with something, then you say what's going on, and then you pause, and then you listen to that, and then you record what you would say to that person.
Is that like, were your best friend or your...
Yeah.
Anybody you love... Yeah, that's the two-handed.
Oh, that is the two-handed. Okay.
That is the two-handed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it has that element, so that other one that I described...
Yeah.
That's kind of the regular one that most people start off with that one. It's just, that one is designed, you know, the point, as you I'm sure well know, is that we're always listening to something.
Right.
And for most people, an awful lot of it is, if not downright negative, then just kind of unpleasant and not uplifting. So... We replace that with what is true,
right?
Not and there, so there's no what do you call this? it's not affirmations, right? We're not talking about how we would like it to be or wish it were, hope or, you know, none of that. It is recording. You would record what is absolutely true and so for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you listen to that. So if you're walking around or driving around or, you know, whatever, all day long, instead of listening to conditioned unpleasantness in the head, you listen to what is real and true and so for you about your life. And it turns out to be uplifting. We get happier as we do
right.
that because, of course, you know, if we listen to negativity all day long, we tend to get negative. But if we listen to what is true, and the true being who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the voices in the head will want to say, well, what's really true is that I have a lot of problems. You know, I don't have
yeah.
enough money. I hate my job. And my relationship stinks. And that's what's really true. No, that's not really true. That's actually not. That's that negativity, right? And so, And so what you're practicing is actually the two-handed. And that exercise can be done regularly. We don't actually have to wait until we have some major trauma in our life to do it.
Right.
You know, sometimes, you know, people will do it just on the way home from work to kind of process the day. Maybe somebody got upset with something at work. So you would just let her talk about what was upset. Not self-hate, okay? No voices that are
right.
telling you what you're doing wrong. But she's upset about something and so she talks to you about that, and then and you listen to her, really hear her, and then how would you comfort her or support her or encourage her?
Right. And so the hand switching is to sort of get a sense of, like, speaking from a deeper place. Is that why you
That's
call
exactly
it a two-handed?
Right. Okay. Yes. So she, the upset person, will speak with the recorder in the right hand.
Uh-huh.
And then you switch to the left hand as you become the person who's going to listen.
Okay.
And, yes, it just signals that. And, you know, there's some kind of oogum-boogum stuff about that, you know, that the right tends to be the past and the left tends to be either current or future. So you're moving out of that what is over, what has happened. And the two of you are now moving into current time.
So current time is when you're on your left hand.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then when you record what you say to her, and you know, Tara, you might not have anything to say to her. It's not a requirement. You know, sometimes your best friend can, you know, launch into something about what's going on with her. And, you know, you're just left kind of making noises of, but you don't really have any great wisdom to offer her. And that's
right.
Okay, because what we mostly want is for somebody to hear us and still love us unconditionally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay,
yeah.
That was clear.
Good.
Okay.
Is this your first time calling in?
It is not. I've called before.
Have we talked before?
We have.
Have we talked before?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Not often,
It was a long time ago, Tara. Tell me it was a long time ago, okay? So I don't feel like my memory is slipping or anything. Well, anyway,
all right,
it's great
thanks.
To talk with you this evening. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tara. And, Sherry, it's great to... you know, review recording and listening and how it works and the two-handed, and I never tire of getting a refresher on how we do things.
Yeah, exactly so. Exactly so. Never hurts, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It's why I often say that anytime anybody's teaching meditation, I want to go and hear what they have to say because,
yes.
you know, even people in this practice, because,
yes.
you know, oftentimes people will just phrase something in a new way, or I'll just be in a different place and I'll hear it in a new way, and it's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kim from Anaheim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. Wow, so huge fan. Been listening for maybe 5 years or so, and so just calling in to say thank you and participate.
Kim, let me ask you, is this your first time calling in?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
It sure is.
I feel heartened by that. I feel bad that I missed that on the was our last caller. All right. Well, can you say a little about what's going on in your life and your practice and all of those kinds of things?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm really excited right now. and I have been having a great time with the year-long retreat. And so the participating,
good.
You know, got me thinking, okay,
yeah.
Let's do it. And yeah.
Yeah, just, good for you.
Thank you. I love Sangha, and I thank you, everyone. The open air had really transformed practice for me, like took it from, you know, this book, this lofty, faraway thing to, oh, me too, you know, like I can do it.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it really is, because I know exactly what you mean, and mostly because I hear people talk about it. You know, like you said, you've been with us for 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know you, right? I didn't know that, but you know all of us,
mm-hmm.
right? You know all of us really well, right? I mean, hear people on the year long, and
mm-hmm.
you know them. Because you've heard them on open air, and with a lot of people, you know, for years. So people will go back and listen to the archives. Because
Michael and I
have been doing this for donkey's years, and people will, you know, they've been doing it for a long time, and so mm-hmm. you can watch how people's practice changes and grows in different circumstances in their life, and it's marvelous, isn't it? Because it just takes away that feeling of, okay, who are these people? And this is really strange and foreign. And what are they doing? And what are they talking about? And how am I ever going to get up to speed with this?
Really?
You know, how do
mm-hmm.
I go from reading a book to really being a part of this whole process that people are engaged in? And that's how, the way you've done it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, and it reminds me of having a guidance appointment in the on retreat for the New Year's retreat,
mm-hmm.
and there was such
uh-huh.
a sense of, oh, not me, you know, like seeing that story dissolve, that, you know, I'm sure everyone else is really practicing, but not me, and so I feel like
uh-huh.
that's kind of the story with open air for so long has been, well, you know, I don't really have whatever it takes, and so this is so great. But that's not true.
Good. I just saw you. I just realized where I know you from that little room at in Menlo Park.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well,
great.
It's wonderful to have you with us. Great to get to catch up with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Everyone.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Go happy. Bye bye.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. And yeah, Sherry, it's great.
I love the Sangha.
The Sangha is great. And yeah, and to hear them live, you know, when we haven't heard from them before,
mm-hmm.
it's a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Yeah.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you double muted, perhaps?
Oh, yes. I just think
of
my
can. one more unmute.
Wow.
You know, it's the price we pay, Jan, for being good citizens, right?
I guess so. Oh,
yep.
Gosh. Well, I love Good News Update. I love the book. It brings tears to my eyes every time I read it, I tell you. And I'm calling because of just how amazing the Sunday workshop was for me and what I got
to see.
Yeah, and sort of a question about what I've seen so far. And I wanted to run this by you. So, you know, the contrast between do or be, and what I looked at is the anger that comes up. I chose, as many people have in the past, a political figure, not the typical one, but a different political figure that I just get so angry with. And, you know, just it turns to rage. And you wrote a newsletter article about it, which I've listened to many times. And I'm seeing more and more, but I feel like there's part I'm not seeing. And so the anger, what I saw below that, of course, was the sadness. But what I kept hearing come up was heartbreak, the heartbreak from what I see going on. Now, there's this is what I wanted to run by you. I understand sadness. I understand disappointment. But the heartbreak sounded like it was right on the edge of conditioning. So I thought I'd check in with you about that.
And so can you talk a little more about it? Because does that sound like too strong a word or?
Well, when I go there, when I was recording about it during the workshop and afterwards, when I would go to that place of heartbreak, there would just be tears. Now, it feels genuine to begin with. There's no doubt about that. And maybe what I'm sensing is the attempted takeover of conditioning of that emotion. I don't know. And
so when the emotion is there, so something triggers it. You must read something or see something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that heartbreak feeling that and the tears that come with that. And then does it become a story?
Well, it can be, certainly. It can be.
Uh-huh.
But and maybe it's just that I've been listening to the recordings so much that and it's been so effective in helping me get clear and clear about where this all starts. You know, that it isn't anger. That's just what's where it ends up. That it really is, in a sense, heartbreak, sadness, that of the conditions of so many things. And
so, Jan, is it heartbreaking to you that it feels hopeless or that you're impotent?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. No, it doesn't. It's just the heartbreak that that we all have the capacity for such cruelty and meanness. That's the heartbreak.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know it exists here. I know it exists. The possibility of it is there in all of us, or we wouldn't recognize it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I think that's the key, Sherry, what you just asked is, is it hopeless? Because that's where it would be going off, at least what I'm seeing right now, in the conditioning would be carrying it off into something else.
Yeah.
Because it has to have a story to be hopeless.
Right. And even, if we, because I look at this a lot, if we see the capacity or the potential for cruelty as a negative, which is kind of a funny thing to say when I hear myself say it, because how else are we supposed to see it? But the fact of the matter is, if you couldn't see that and it didn't make you so very sad, would it be so important to you not to be that way?
Oh, boy, Sherry, that just went into a scramble, so there has to be something there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I often look at it as I'm not saying there's any validity to this. I'm just telling you how I often look at it. You know that that picture of evolution where it goes from, you know, walking on all fours to standing upright?
Not
that I'm necessarily supportive of that as a positive direction, but if we look at how, just with ourselves, how we have changed over the course of our lifetime, the things that we didn't know, didn't understand, weren't aware of in ourselves, you know, I can go back into great great levels of unconsciousness and actually what I would call cruelty, just a lack of sensitivity from being a kid raised on a chicken farm and killing chickens in a hideous way and never, you know, never even batting an eye because it was just how it was. You know, it was a long time before the horror of that registered for me. And I think it was a huge part of getting to the place of wanting to live a harmless life. Without that, would that change have happened for me? I don't know.
And when you say without that, you mean without that experience?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
How would I have been put in touch with that level of unconsciousness, that level of conditioned oblivion? And so seeing in myself that process of moving from such just nobody home to a realization of what seems to me, we always think we're pretty subtle creatures, I guess, but a pretty subtle sensitivity to the suffering of others. And I don't just mean humans. I mean, you know, trees, bushes, shrubs, and flowers. And so I don't know. I've never been convinced that if the world were any different, we would ever have a hope of clarity.
Ah, oh, I just got it, Sherry. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it is it heartbreaking? Yes, but whose heart is it breaking? And that old cliche, you know, of having our hearts broken open.
Yes. Well, I've just seen the tremendous suffering that I've experienced, but in the belief that it should be different, that it really should be different. There's something wrong here.
Yeah.
And I know where that, you know, with it, why would this content be different than any other when I hear that?
Yes.
And well, that's what has me looking.
When we finally see it, we hear it in a way that it isn't presented inside our own head, then it's kind of, huh. Well, maybe I want to look at that a little more.
Yeah. Well, that's really helpful.
And, you know,
and I'm going to, you know.
One final.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're going to what?
No, I'm going to continue looking, but go ahead, please.
Yes. Yeah. It's just the you know, it's the compassion aspect of it that, ego would like us to have compassion for what we have compassion for and not for what we don't, right? And realizing our own unconsciousness can, I think, bring us a lot of sympathy and compassion for people who might be as unconscious as we are and perhaps not actually evil any more than we are, but just like us, just not quite seeing it.
Yeah, and to different degrees. Yeah, different degrees.
That's exactly right. Yeah. To trust that we're all on the path and we're seeing what we're seeing, and all other, you know, from the 8 to the upright person, we don't know where anybody is, and we don't know actually which is the direction. The better direction.
Yeah, and right. Well, what I love is what you just said. We're all on the path. And what and the way I have been looking at it, that didn't apply. How could that be? This wouldn't be happening.
Yes.
It's wrong.
Yes.
And
that's right.
Yeah, so it's
And so maybe it, again, it's one of those gifts that we just hadn't quite seen the value of.
Yes, as always, so many gifts. Thank you so much, Jerry. Yeah.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. And Sherry, I'm waiting for my computer here to respond.
From the morning show, I'm used to the queue jumping around. Is your queue jumping around?
No, I'm
I've never had that experience. Nobody lets me do that part. Well,
Well, I'm on it. I'm unable to mute Jan here, so perhaps she can.
Oh, she'll be quiet.
She'll mute
herself
there.
We can trust her. Yeah.
Yes. And Sherry, we will hear from our sponsor, assuming I can get all that to work, and then we will come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. And Sherry, if you could mute yourself also, I'm unable to do that right now.
I'm making my way to my phone as we speak.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Michael.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Sherry, I'm going to restart here and see if I can get some controls back here. So give me a moment.
Okay.
Okay, Sherry, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes and yes.
That's the best news I've heard all day. Okay, and let's and let's get back to our queue here and see who we see here. Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Absolutely. Who is this?
Hi, this is Fatima. I'm calling from San Francisco. Hello, and this is my first time. Or actually, I called once and I talked to Jane or Jan, I think. But I haven't spoken with you. Jan, okay.
That's right. We had a date at one point to speak, and I don't know what happened, but we didn't
connect. Know. Yeah, I got the date wrong. I thought it was the Sunday, but it was a Saturday or something like that. It was my bad. I'm really sorry.
Well, oh no, it's not a problem at all. I'm just glad we get to speak now. What's going on?
Me too. Well, my question is about, it's on the theme of saying yes to life. So I've kind of invested my life on a career that I've recently admitted to myself that it is not what I want, and that I have been doing it because of expectations. And so now, I just recently graduated, and now, yeah, I just feel like I've invested so much into this, and I'm so lost on where to go from here. Like, I've never really had the thought that I can actually choose how I want to spend my life. And when I ask my heart what it wants, it's so shy. Like, I'm not even able to imagine. Yeah.
So there you are. You were in this job. You had this career. Now, were you actually working at it, or you were in school getting ready for it?
So I went to law school, and I was working as a legal assistant at a law firm for a long time. So I had work experience, but I graduated in March this year. So I haven't had, like, I haven't.
And you realize you don't want to be a lawyer.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
But aren't you very well informed about a lot of things at this point?
I am.
Like what
I'm
you
really...
don't want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. At what point along this did you have that realization, I don't actually want to do this?
I think my last year, but I just decided that I wanted to follow through because, I'd invested a lot.
You're
and
so close.
You never know.
Right.
Yeah, I might change my mind in the future. But now, I've just been guided by, you know, wanting to be someone or make my parents proud and just the wrong things, kind of like egotistical things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that makes you pretty normal. And so during this last year, as it's dawning on you that this is not my dream come true, were there any notions of, oh my gosh, I'd rather be, or oh, if only I could, or if nothing, if all things were equal, by golly, I'd none of those.
Are you asking me what I would do if I just followed my heart, or?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to sneak it in there because you said when you ask your heart, it's so shy, it doesn't say anything. So I was trying to sneak one over on you and get you to answer the question, and then I could tell you.
I really don't know. I feel so judgmental about myself because
I can't allow that. The voices, the negative ego voices in your head, the self-hating voices, have a lot of judgment, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that is so important for us always to keep kind of at the front of conscious awareness is that it's your life, not theirs. They can go ahead and be a lawyer if they want to. But this is your life. It's not your parents' life. It's not their friend's life. It's not anybody's life. It's your life. So there is that.
I guess I also kind of wonder, like, does it matter what we do? Like, as long as we're fully present when we're doing it, do you think we have, like, a purpose, or is it just about... Okay.
I kid about a couple of things. One, I'm going to write a book on how to have absolute control of your life and sell a gajillion copies. And at the end of the book, it's going to say, actually, there's no such thing as control. It's an illusion. But thanks for the purchase. That is bogus. And the reason that I was inspired to do that is because of how popular books on purpose are. And I suspect it's hogwash.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm with that suspicion that you have, that if you are fully present, first of all, a la the conversation, I don't know if you were on for not open air, but Good News Update at the beginning, and we were talking with Jen about having that idea drop in about the book for the kids in Cantalumba, and saying yes to it. So
mm-hmm.
when we are here and present, we are guided, right? And when we are here and present and we're saying yes to life, we tend to be happy. And
mm-hmm.
and as we're happy, we tend to be a contribution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I recently found out that I was pregnant. So there's kind of like this, and I mean, it's a miracle. It's amazing.
You're happy. You're happy about that.
I'm happy. I was really shocked, but I'm overjoyed. It just feels like kind of this added pressure to get my stuff together somehow now.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
And do you think this baby really needs a lawyer for a mom, or?
No, it just needs somebody loving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So so this what to do with your life, a kind of a career thing, it sounds like for a while you're going to have a career, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I moved to San Francisco. I studied in Sweden, and now I'm staying at San Francisco Zen Center. So I'm here for the time being. It's kind of like an in-between period.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point was that your life is going to be pretty full for the next period of time, having a baby and becoming a mom. So it's not really like you need to make any big career decisions for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's true.
I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. But the voices in your head would like you to believe that you do need to worry about that right now, and you do need to solve that right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I'm guessing you know enough about our approach to life around here that those voices are just trying to ruin your good time.
Yeah, I really wonder where they come from. I mean,
oh, they are just part and parcel of how it all works. Yeah. So if you're a student of Zen, which I hope you are, if you're at the Zen Center of San Francisco, then
yes, ma'am.
This is just kind of a thumbnail on how it works, right? We
mm-hmm.
have the ability as human beings to experience ourselves as separate from life. That illusion of being separate from life, the ego, that emboldens, right? The karma, the conditioning, the ego, then is the cause of suffering.
Yeah.
And so our opportunity then is to realize that, to wake up and realize that is not real. You're not separate from life. To turn to your heart, to life, to present, and to be fully at one in life.
Yeah.
So it depends. You know, if you're not a Buddhist or a Hindu or one of those kinds of folks, then, you know, there's a lot of belief that it's wrong and it shouldn't be this way. And there's a big mistake because people believe that this world is really true, that their view of this world is really true and accurate. But those of us who lean east tend to see it as a great opportunity to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that I haven't, that I feel like the Buddhist teachings haven't explained to me yet is that if compassion is our true nature, then why does separation from compassion, why has it occurred at all?
Well, you know what?
I heard that we were only supposed to ask one question. Yep.
Well, but I'll respond to that one, okay? As soon as you awaken, you will not have that question. Until you awaken, if you try to answer that question, you'll spend your life in misery. So I would suggest to you that a good answer to that, I'm not saying it's the answer, but it's a good answer to that, is that your job, my job, everybody's job, but your job is to return to that compassion. And it is suffering that inspires people to do that.
Yeah, and I believe that. I sometimes tend to get lost on the metaphysical questions, but as you say, they
don't
lead me
anywhere. That's right, and that's why you were drawn to being a lawyer. It's way too much time in the head.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's great having this opportunity to talk with you. I'm glad we finally met.
You too, Sherry. Thank you for your wise words.
All right.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Fatima. Another fabulous conversation, Sherry. And I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Well, hello, Tracy, back from the wilds.
Yes, and I'm so happy to be on and just tying in with what has been shared. I've been doing a lot of two-handed recording today, and then I was really also right along with Jan just talking about, like, heartbreak and how it's just kind of being on, we're kind of all on the path and in different stages of evolution. And yes,
as we were saying, with no idea where we are or where anybody else is.
It's so true. And I just had an experience a couple days ago out in the wilderness, being with a group of people, of being in a group, and having, you know, looking at a map together and knowing which direction we were headed. And I had to put my glasses back in a pocket, and the group kind of took off and I was a few steps behind, and they ended up going in the different direction than we had looked at a map. So I went in the other direction. And
by yourself?
They never heard me or communicated that they were going in a different direction. And basically I was lost for many, many hours. And just that feeling of, I've been doing a lot of two-handed recording around it of, there was just, like, again, resonating with that heartbreak of, wow, there was no communication, there was no awareness. And you know, I kept circling back to the two points of where we started and where we were supposed to go, and not seeing anyone or not hearing anything.
And so, Tracy, were they lost or just you?
I was the one that was. You know, they went to where we were all trying to go, but where we looked at on a map, it was a different place than we actually were. So the direction that they had said that we were going based on the map was the opposite direction of where they went, but it wasn't communicated, and nor did anyone realize that I wasn't there.
I'm sorry about this, but I need the details, okay? So they took off, at some point they looked at the map again, realized they were going in the wrong direction or whatever, and they all turned around and went in another direction. In the meantime, you were going with the original plan, and so nobody said, wait a minute, we're missing somebody. Where do we think she is? Is that kind of, did I capture it?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. And so there was, yeah, no awareness, no communication. It was
well, they couldn't
really
very well communicate, right? Since you were all off in different directions in the wilderness.
Yeah, and there wasn't any, there was no awareness that, yeah, it was just one of those really interesting places of, I can't get my hands around that it even happened. It just happened so quickly, without communication, and like everyone just disappeared, and disappeared in a direction different than what was discussed. And then, you know, just the fear that came with it, and the, you know, just the sadness, and just the place of.
And so, Tracy, did you finally meet up with them, and they just looked at you and went, "Oh, where have you been?" Or did notice that you weren't there?
Well, they didn't notice I wasn't there until they got to the end point. Like, no one was aware that I wasn't there until they got to the end point. And they went looking, and it was, you know, it was a good four. So, I mean, they had called search and rescue. I mean, it was kind of like
epic.
Yeah, it was a long time went before they realized that I wasn't there. And, yeah, so it was this, I don't know, this funny place of being present to, it's like I was present to first feeling scared of like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Like, I don't even know what happened. They're not here. They're not hearing my yells. Like, what happened? And then, you know, knowing where I was in space, like, okay, I need to either be here or be at the end destination. I have to find them between those two points, and not being able to find them between those two points. So it felt like there was like this non-existence, like everyone disappeared, and they weren't at either of those two points. And it wasn't, I mean, hours and hours and hours went by, and until I just surrendered to, I'm just going to stay at the end point, and at some point someone's going to find me there, whether it's another group or somebody else. But just that feeling of, I don't know, just that almost like you don't exist. And so it was just, anyway,
well,
I've been doing a lot of...
I would project, yes, you don't exist, and I would imagine it would be a short trip to you don't matter.
Yeah. And so it's hard to stay out of the story, but it's thrown me. It, like I said, I've done a lot of two-handed recording around it, and I don't really come up with anything other than like, just kind of I'm kind of sorry you went through it type of a thing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Tracy, that might be the best there is right now.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot to process.
Yeah.
Did that happen yesterday or today?
Oh, it happened the first day of our trip. A couple days, you know, like 6 days ago.
Oh, so you've been processing this for a while.
Exactly. Yep, I've been processing it.
And you've
for
been
a while.
Processing people's reaction or lack of reaction and their understanding or lack of understanding, and you've been processing all of that or experiencing it, whether you've been processing it or not, I don't know. Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And just kind of feeling kind of alone with it. Kind of don't know really. There's just nowhere to. I mean, it's just. It kind of is what it is. And I wouldn't wish it for anyone or any group. It's like working within a group. I kind of got to like, wow, I don't want to be in a group that isn't paying attention in this way, because it's kind of, you know, there's you're in the wilderness and no one knows where they're going, and you got to stick together and have a buddy and be mindful of each other. And so the whole thing caught me by surprise. And I mean, it had a fine ending, and
It had a fine ending in that you found the other people and you went on with the trip, but it hasn't ended yet for you. I mean, you're still grappling with what happened and how you feel about what happened.
Right.
Yeah. And so I would still go with that place of, you know, I project you're doing everything that you can in terms of practice, and it's going to, you're just going to need to be with it. It's kind of, you know, if somebody loses a loved one, okay, well, 6 days later, you haven't finished it. You know, I mean, yes, you have all the details. Yes, you know everything that happened. Yes, you can tell the story, but that doesn't mean that all of the, my image of it is, you've got a 15,000 piece jigsaw puzzle and you throw all the pieces up in the air. And they all come down. And that's a long ways from putting the picture together.
Yeah, that's a great imagery. And I think this is just what I needed to hear, that just have patience with it. Like, I don't have to have it.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. My encouragement, Tracy, is don't think about it.
Just let it be there.
Don't think about it. Yeah. If the thinking starts, pick up the recorder.
Okay.
But no thinking about it, because that's where, you know, that's where conditioning wants to pull us into a story and make meaning and figure it out and all of that stuff. So to let whomever needs to talk about what's going on to talk about it and to be there and listen, but not just going off into the head, because that's painful and doesn't take us anywhere good.
Okay, so just hearing the expression, just being present towards the expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime you notice something going on with you, use that as an opportunity to explore it. You know, pick up the recorder, let that person talk about whatever is going on, and that conversation is finished. Go on about your life. Something else comes up, and the same process. Which, again, is what I would encourage somebody with if they had just lost a loved one or gone through a trauma or tragedy, because it is trauma.
Right.
That is exactly what you've gone through.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care of her,
okay,
huh?
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Just what
All right.
I needed.
Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, Tracy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And a lot of compassion is what I hear, Sherry, in that conversation and all of our conversations tonight.
Yeah, it's just what we get to, isn't it? We really don't have any other choice.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
it's not our first choice, because we can distance away from it. But it is ultimately going to be the only choice we have. So. That's what we're getting to.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. I really appreciate it, too.
All right.
It's been a joy.
All right.
Go happy.
Good night.
Good night.
Go happy.